Welcome to What the World Needs Now. It's our healing day of prayer, and we invite you to join us to call in and give us your prayer requests. God's Word goes forth out into the world and does the work it was sent to do, to bring health and healing, to bring courage and strength when we're struggling. So sit back and enjoy this hour of power, of conversation.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. We're having a few technical difficulties, but I think we got it going. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Mike Altshuler, along with Anton Raimondo, Dr. Anton. Can you hear me?
Yes, Mike, I'm on.
Okay, there's a little feedback. That's what I'm wondering with that. But it's great to have you. And for folks, this is our first Friday day of prayer. Yes, I can hear you. No problem. So how about if we begin with a prayer? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Lord Jesus, we praise you and thank you for being our Lord and God. Lord, we pray that you may send down your Holy Spirit upon Anton and myself and all the listeners so that your word may work through us, your healing through us, and your wonderful wisdom through us, so that we may be help to transmit your love and mercy and healing to our listeners. Lord Jesus, we thank you in your name for being with us. In Christ's name we pray, amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, folks, for Anton and myself, haven't been on together for a while. We've had a few things. We had some power problem. We had something else come up, but it's always good, Anton, to be with you, and we'll let the Holy Spirit do its work through us, right?
Yes, well, thank you again for having me on the show, and you know, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you and all the listeners.
Thank you.
We're still in the Christmas season, right? We got the 12 days of Christmas if we count all the way to January 6th, or if we count to February 2nd on to Candlemas, that is still Christmas season.
Hmm. Amen to that. Amen to that. And what we do with our listeners for today, first time listeners, today is the People's Day of Prayer. So we really encourage you to call in and with any prayer requests. We have a couple of the people who have called in already before, but the phone number is 610-527-2906. So 610-527-2906. And we have Patrick, our wonderful engineer, is ready and willing to go and to take your calls. I don't like that. Anton, I thought we would do the reading from this weekend's gospel reading from this weekend, if you don't mind.
Sure, great.
We can. I have it in front of me. Unless you want to read it, I can read it, and then we'll go from there. How's that?
Okay, why don't you go ahead and read it?
Okay, a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star at its rising and have come to do him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was greatly troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it has been written through the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, since from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod called the Magi secretly and ascertained from them the time of the star's appearance. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the child. When you have found him, bring me word that I too may go and do him homage.' After their audience with the king, they set out. And behold, the star that they had seen at its rising preceded them until it came and stopped over the place where the child was. They were overjoyed at seeing the star, and on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They prostrated themselves and did him homage. Then they opened their treasures and offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their country by another way. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Wait, Don, this is such a positive, uplifting, great story, isn't it? For the gospel.
Yes, so beautiful. Where we get to, you know, hearing about the Magi, the three kings, you know, and, you know, again, how it says here in the beginning where it says Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea. I wanted to make the connection with the fourth Sunday of Advent where we heard from Micah. It says that, you know, thus says the Lord, you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too small to be among the clans of Judah. And it goes on that this will be the place where, you know, the ruler of Israel will come from, meaning Jesus. And so I wanted just to bring the point about that this Bethlehem means the house of bread. And when they called it Bethlehem Ephrathah, some people may not realize that they had to say that because there's a few cities named Bethlehem with the same name.
Mm.
So you know how, like, we have Philadelphia here, right, Dick? Mm. There's other cities in the United States that are called Philadelphia, but there's one and only Philadelphia here. And so we'll say Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, right? Mm-hmm. Or, like, where I live here in Westchester, you know, there's, if we ever say the name Westchester, most people will think, oh, you're talking about New York, but they're not thinking about Westchester, Pennsylvania, or Westchester, Ohio. So, and if you put these two together, it was a specific Bethlehem, the one that where David was born. And it had a special meaning here. So it was Bethlehem Ephrathah, the small town that was south of Jerusalem. It wasn't the ones up in the north. So it may seem a little trivial or technical, but actually, just like, you know, when we're here, living here in Philadelphia, we want to make sure they know it's the actual Philadelphia. Just like where I live here in Westchester, it's, you know, the Westchester in Pennsylvania, not in Ohio, not in New York.
That's well said. And what amazes me is, I think, as modern day Christians, like currently, we read these readings, and we think about that. We just sometimes, if we're reading them, not having them become alive. And living them through the people that they're speaking about in the Bible, we kind of take it as, well, that happened and it was easy and it did that. But there were so many things that people had to listen to promptings, like the wise men were somehow prompted to look at this star and follow this star. They were prompted to bring frankincense, myrrh, and gold. They were prompted to go speak to Herod, but then they were in a dream. They listened and they did not return to him and tell him about it. So there's so many things that are we take for granted. And I guess for our listeners, I want to say that each of us, myself, yourself, our listeners, we were all, it's the same God, the same Christ with us. And we need to be open to observe and listen, and as Mary did, ponder about these things or things happening in our lives. And I think sometimes it makes the scriptures come alive because these are people and they listened, and we are on our journey ourselves. Like, only God knows what's going to transpire in the next 50 minutes and any healings that there'll be. He's already known about it ahead, but we have to have willing people to ask for him. We have to participate in the prayer, and he grants the miracles. But we're getting prompted to be here at this time, this place, to do that. And it's people, sometimes we forget that we are part of this living journey mystery. This is our history, but our history is alive. I don't know if that makes sense, what I'm saying.
It's also worth noting, like you said, you know, how these magi, these wise men, how they came and gave these three gifts. And one particular, you know, was this myrrh. You know, how, you know, actually it's a medicinal remedy, but it's also used for burial. So it's really strange that they would give, you know, this one gift. I mean, they gave three, the gold, frankincense, and myrrh, but the myrrh was this, it was used for embalming the dead. And we know that, you know, Jesus was embalmed with myrrh, but it's also what you call an antiseptic, and, you know, it also makes a person sleepy and takes away some pain. And so Jesus was actually given myrrh, or he was offered myrrh when he was crucified on the cross, and he refused. He didn't want to be drugged up, so to speak, right, when he was suffering and in pain. And so I think this is applicable to those of us who may be calling in and, you know, are struggling with the fact that, you know, they are in pain and they need, you know, relief from this pain. And our Lord, he's God, yes, and he's human, but he also showed the way that despite this, the worst suffering any man can suffer, he refused to take this myrrh, to drink of it, to alleviate the pain. He offered all that suffering so we can be, you know, all our sins can be paid for. And I'm not saying that those who are suffering right now not to take pain medicine. I mean, I used to do anesthesia, and part of anesthesia is to take away pain. And of course, it's just and right to take medicines. And of course, we don't want people to suffer. We don't want them to be addicted either. But here's Jesus. I just wanted to bring out the point that, you know, this myrrh that was given by one of, you know, the kings, that, you know, it was an offering. Just like the gold was an offering and frankincense was an offering. The frankincense was like a meaning for symbolically for divinity. And the gold was to show that, you know, Jesus, you know, this king, he was king. He was royal. And off the side, I just wanted to add, you know, people may wonder, well, if the Holy Family got this gold from the three kings, they must have been rich. And no, they weren't. Actually, what I found out, like in a private revelation, I thought it was Mary Agreda or Anne Catherine Emmerich, that they gave it away. They divided it into three, and they gave one-third to the temple, one-third to the priests, and one-third to the poor. So that's what they offered, and that's why when we come to Jesus being presented at the temple on February 2nd, you know, they were poor, and they could only offer, you know, the pigeons or turtle doves, you see, during that time, which shows they were poor. They didn't have this overflowing of gold, which some people would think, oh, didn't they get that from the kings? You see what I mean?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. I never had heard it explained that way, but thank you. That certainly makes a lot of sense with that. We have, I'll share with you, Anton, our listeners, something happened to me on January 1st at a Mass, which really just kind of reiterated to me that the divinity of Jesus and the amazing thing. But I said before to our listeners that at the consecration of the Mass, I've been blessed the last couple of years to be aware when the priest does the consecration and then makes a sign of the cross over the bread and wine as it becomes the body and blood of Christ, that I'm always aware of the presence of Mary and St. Joseph. And this year on the January 1st, Mary appeared as the Mary Queen of Angels in this white outfit with gold trim, and St. Joseph typically is tan and is brown. And there's just hordes of angels around the front of the altar and above the altar. But usually that's, I'm astounded to see that, to be aware of that. But this year, the monstrance in Jesus right there was the infant Jesus just in golden, just glowing gold. And it was just showing the divinity and amazing of this is God. And even though it was a small child at the altar right there at the priest the bread and wine. I was aware of that, and just the rays going out to all the people at the Mass. And usually my concentration's always on that, but I'm aware of Mary and Joseph, and I'm just simply amazed always how they always appear in their kneeling and adoration. But certainly this time with the angels, but also but the divinity and the gold shining of the infant Jesus, you know, standing there right in the altar, very small. And that I wish I had those spiritual eyes all the time, but that's truly the bread of life. And we talked about the bread Bethlehem, but that is the bread of life. And it just realized that the divinity certainly was celebrating Mary, the mother of God, but this was God right there visible to me. So hopefully
that's beautiful. Well,
for listeners,
you're so blessed to be able to have those mystical experiences and see that during the Mass. That's great.
I am blessed. And I'm blessed to be able to share with you and our listeners that, because I don't think they're just meant for me. They're meant for us to accentuate the idea of the reality of the Mass and what's really happened to Mass and what a beautiful thing. And everything is certainly centered around Jesus. But it was an eye-opener for me because I'm not usually aware of Jesus there. And being the infant Jesus in that golden robe type thing and the rays emulating. It was an eye-opener to me, even more so. And glad to be able to share it with our listeners.
Also just the way I would interpret that too, in light of the gospel and what you saw, is it shows how the Jesus is one and the same as the Eucharist. Mm. And so when Jesus was born in Bethlehem in a manger and was offered these three gifts from the three magi, mm-hmm. one can look at it as if it was a wedding gifts. And why do I say that? Is because Jesus married his divinity with humanity, and it was shown by him being a baby. Mm. So you can think of it that way, because he wants us to eat of him, right, in the mm-hmm. city of the town of bread, in the manger, which where we get the root word manja, like manja, manja, let's eat. Mm-hmm. So he's in the trough where the animals eat, but we're not regular animals. We are rational animals. We have made an image and likeness of God, where we have free will and intellect. And so he's allowing us to see that, you know, he's becoming both God and man there for us to see. And he wants to marry us. And these were some of the gifts.
Mm. Wow. Well said. Well said. Well, I want to remind our listeners, you feel free to call in with any prayer requests or any questions or adding to our conversations at number 610-527-2906 or 610-527-2906. And this past week, we had a luncheon. Kathleen hosted the broadcaster, so it was really great to meet everybody and get everybody together. So not everybody could make it, but it was a nice, I'm looking at Patrick, he was not able to make it, but I missed his smiling face there, Patrick, our engineer. But it was really great to see everybody and to realize everything. And Kathleen made a comment to Anton, and I think it's true for our listeners, that Anton really is a suffering servant and healer. And so part of Anton and part of this healing team, myself, which I'm blessed to have, is Anton has, the medical terms, but respiratory problems where he can't do a lot of movement besides being short of breath, and he needs to take oxygen. So Anton, you look at him, looks like the spirit of health. You listen to him now, unless he's speaking too much and gets short of breath. But he is really one who, and I thank you for it. You've given your time as an intercessory prayer healer, and part of that gift you have. Many people could be angry about things and look inward and say, why me? But Anton really has used it as a gift to reach out to your listeners. So when Anton's praying today, this is one gifted a suffering soul who really is praying from the heart through Jesus for each of you, our listeners. And I thought that was kind of, I wanted to remind the listeners about that, because when Kathleen said it, I said, yeah, that's right. I sometimes forget about that. So thank you, Anton.
Thank you.
Thank you, Anton. So now we're going to put you to work. We talked about how you're doing all the work. We put you to work. The two of us are put to work with Jesus guiding the way through his blessed mother. We had a caller, Sandy, asking for prayers for her family. So we're not sure what they are, but how about if we start with that?
Okay, great. Well, thank you, Sandy, for calling in and leaving your petition with us here and how you're concerned for your family. So let's offer this prayer to the Holy Family, as we just had this, you know, the feast day of the Holy Family. And also let's combine that today, since it's First Friday, it's also commemorated to the most holy name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. So let's ask the Holy Family and our Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, holy is your name, and worthy are you to be praised. We thank you for having Sandy, who's petitioning help for her family. And we ask in particular the Most Holy Family, led by Saint Joseph, the Blessed Mother, and Jesus Christ, to all pray for our friend and listener, Sandy, who is caring for her family and wishes them to be blessed, especially for this new year, and to instill in their family hope and love and faith. And we ask this in your name, Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Almighty God who came down to save us from sin and came down meek and humble as a little baby. And we ask this for Sandy and her family. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. This just came to my mind. I was watching, for our listeners, I was watching one of the football playoff games, and mm-hmm. I saw a team was playing, Arizona State was playing, I forget who they were playing, but it was a really good game, and they were underdogs. But they had the coach come on. They always ask, you know, they have coaches on the halftime or for the game, coach, what do you think? And this coach said both times, and I think the announcer was just stunned, the woman, he said, praise be Jesus, and then he would go on with what he wanted to talk about. And the first time I heard, I go, did I hear that right? Is this is like, you know, in modern TV, it's taboo. Nobody mentions praise be Jesus. And here's a fellow on national television, one of the big bowl games, said praise be Jesus, and then he was on again, same thing, praise be Jesus, and he went on to what he spoke about. But I thought, there's a guy that knows about the holy name of Jesus, and he basically prefaced his whole conversation, praise be Jesus. And I thought, credit to him for having the courage to say that and doing that. And he was only a younger coach. I think he's only 34 years old, but it was really amazing. And I had to mention that for our listeners on the whole, this day was the holy name of Jesus, to remember that name and always never use it in vain, but always be always give praise to Jesus. But I was really impressed by that. Sorry, I was a little bit on the side, but I just thought about it, and I thought, I have to mention that fella. I should know his
name. It's important. I think just on the same vein, I think I remember seeing the coach. His name is the coach for the Baltimore Ravens. I think his name is John Harbaugh. He during Christmas, he had said something, quoted the Magnificat, you know, and in his press conference about our Blessed Mother, you know, magnifying the Lord. And so he just said a few lines. It was just coming from an NFL coach who had won a Super Bowl before. So it was just nice. But this also just ties in with today, because, you know, being the holy name of Jesus, by his name, by us invoking our Lord's name, people can be healed if the Lord wants it. It can be physically, it can be spiritually, it can be mentally, it can be emotionally, psychologically. It's by his name alone. His name is where people would be bowing and bending their knee to the ground. And we should not be ashamed of using his name. In fact, it says somewhere in scripture that if we are ashamed to basically stick up for Jesus or defend him, he'll remember that basically at judgment day. How will he stick up for us in front of God the Father? If we are so scared to even mention his name, which leads me to say here, I'm taking a chance on this, but you know, we're at the beginning of the year, right? And we call that in the name of our Lord, AD. So we're in 2025 in the Jubilee of Hope, 2020 AD. But then there are people who don't want to use Anno Domini or BC before Christ. They want to use the words, common era, BCE for before the common era, or CE or, at the common era, right? And so, but the crazy thing about it, it's still based on the birth of Jesus Christ. They just don't want to mention his name, that it's before Christ or after, Anno Domini, the year of our Lord.
Is that what AD means, the year of our Lord?
Yeah, Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord. So what things is AD, so we're 2025, the year of our Lord, like 2025 years after he was born is the estimate. I mean, but my point is that when you hear out there, people using the CE for, common era, mm-hmm. Trying to make it seem that it's not to offend people, but we shouldn't offend God is the point, you see? Because we exist because of God, and it's, in my opinion, it's offensive to not mention our Lord, that it was because of him that we are all created in the world, and everything exists is because of him. So our time is dated because of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what is so apt to mention this, because today is dedicated to the most holy name of Jesus. And people who are listening now, I think you can be blessed by his name, if not healed one way or another, according to his will.
Amen. Well said. Well said. And I did not know what AD meant. I knew it meant after. I don't know why I was thinking after the birth, but I guess it is after the birth. But I didn't know what that exactly stood for. So thank you, Anton. Once again, you're a wealth of knowledge. God's bless you with the ability to retain all this knowledge and use it at the proper time, right, when the Holy Spirit guides you. That's awesome. We're pretty close to break time, so I think now would be a good time to break. We're about a minute earlier, but I think while we're doing that, and then we will continue, be right back after this radio commercials. Thank you.
This is Linda Purcell. I listen to In His Sign Catholic Radio every chance I get. Kathleen convicts me with the words of our Lord. Kathleen lives in his love, and for me, just the opportunity to listen to her is my road to Emmaus. My heart is burning for our Lord Jesus. I am set on fire each time I tune in to In His Sign Catholic Radio. Why don't you give it a try, too?
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
Well, welcome back. I'm Mike Altshuler along with Aidan Ramonda on the People's Day of Prayer, the first Friday of the month. And you're welcome to call in for any prayer requests or comments about any of our conversations, all centered on Jesus Christ, our Lord. The phone numbers are 610-527-2906 or 610-527-2906. Anton, while we were, those are great commercials too that they speak, certainly about the InnoSign Network and the wonderful ministry and Kathleen McCarthy and all the broadcasters, really blessed about that. Well, I was listening to that, it really got me prompted to, yeah, let me just say this prayer. Sometimes I usually, well, I always start with prayer cleansing the air. So for all your listeners, the devil is not excited about proclaiming the name of Jesus and also about having a radio station to proclaim the Lord Jesus to others. So I just want to free everything that the airs and the station will do that. So I just want to say a prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, we pray in your name, Jesus, that you bind and cast away Satan and any old spirits about myself or Anton, the radio station here, the airwaves, and really around the area of any of our listeners. We pray, Lord, that these airwaves and methods of communication may be free and open from any impeding evil, and it will so that we can be open to your perfect will and be more open to your healing love and mercy. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Okay, well, got that out of the way. That kind of hit me like brick saying, Michael, you need to always protect, right, Anton?
Yes. Well, thank you for mentioning that. During the break, I looked up that verse where I was mentioning about, you know, how we shouldn't really be afraid. Mm-hmm. And so this is actually from, you know, about mentioning Jesus's name and mm-hmm. and not denying him. It actually comes from Matthew 10. Mm-hmm. So this is really important because it relates to Sandy who called about her family. So at first, Jesus, you know, in Matthew chapter 10, he commissions the 12. He names who the 12 apostles are, and then he tells them, he instructs them to go into, you know, the town and not to the Samaritan town. He was like giving them an internship, like mm-hmm. to just go to the house of Israel and to cure the sick, right? Mm. And to raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, drive out demons. Mm. And so you are just, you know, doing some prayers again to protect us. But then later on, he in this chapter 10 in Matthew, it talks about having courage. And it says that, do not be afraid. You are worth more than sparrows. And here's the verse that I was trying to cite. Everyone who acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my heavenly Father. Mm. But whoever denies me before others, I will deny before my heavenly Father. Mm. And you see, and so this is my point about saying AD or BC. It's like I personally don't fall for that stuff about BCE and CE because it's still based on the year zero where Jesus was born. Mm. So they're actually omitting the fact that Jesus is the Christ. And I don't want to be caught doing this, like not acknowledging Jesus before others, because I want that my Heavenly Father to see that I'm defending his son. Hmm. And then right after this, so this is Matthew verse chapter 10, verses 32 and 33, it goes into verse 34, and it talks about the family, about that, how, you know, a man will be against his father, a daughter against mother, a daughter-in-law against mother-in-law, you know. And so, you know, to me, this is, I don't know if that's what Sandy was asking for, but yeah, I'm thinking it's more of healing, but then again, also healing from any kind of riff, right? Or mm-hmm. disagreement that we might have had from Thanksgiving or Christmas or New Year's. There might be some sort of riff where we're not talking to each other. And that's appropriate to call here and ask for prayers. Because that's what we want. We want peace. And so we want healing in one way or another.
Perfect. That leads right into, I missed on the bottom of the prayer request, John and Susan are asking for prayers for their immediate and extended family. So we'll continue.
Wow.
How about if we continue with these family prayers and for John and Susan?
Yes. And so, again, in light of John and Susan also asking for prayers for the family, too, you know, we also, in addition to asking the Holy Family and Jesus because of his most holy name, let's think about of another family. It's a rare family that both mother and father and daughter, and I think there's one more daughter, that are all declared saints. It's, I don't know if you remember who that is, Mike, but that would be the Martin family, the Martin family, right?
Right.
Zelie and Louis Martin,
Therese.
The parents of Therese Martin or Therese of Lisieux. Hmm. And I forget the name of her other sister who is on her way to sainthood or is already. I don't remember. But my point is that's another family that became saintly. So let's ask all of them. So in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus Christ, with your most the powerful name of you being our Lord and Savior and the Christ, our Messiah, along with the Holy Family led by St. Joseph, our Blessed Mother. And we ask the intercession of the Martin family, the parents of Therese, the little flower, her parents, Louis and Zelie Martin. We ask help for John and Susan and their family and their extended family, that peace and love and happiness, faith, hope, and love would reign in their family, and there would be healing one way or another from physical, mental, emotional, psychological, and their relations with one another. We ask this in your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen. I think she had a sister. The name came to me while you're talking, Celine. She had a sister, Celine. So
could be. I have to look that up.
Yeah,
again.
I was going to look up.
Sisters.
I thought, you know what?
We'll, and we'll from Pauline, Celine, and various others. And
sure.
So,
all right. Well, thank you.
You know,
what's that?
Yeah, no, go ahead.
I was just going to remind our listeners that the phone lines are open, 610-527-2906. If you wish to call 610-527-2906. Okay, I won't interrupt you anymore.
Oh, no, you're
not. Okay, we had some more prayer requests. We had, this is a full prayer request. We've prayer requests for Rose, prayers for her health. She has major issues, including PTSD, and also ask for prayers for the repose of the soul of her sister who passed away 5 weeks ago. So Rose, prayers for Rose, prayers for health. She has health issues, including PTSD, and then prayers for the repose of the soul of her sister, passed away 5 weeks ago. So that's a lot of prayer requests, isn't it?
Yes. What comes to mind to me is to ask Padre Pio's intercession.
Okay.
So Rose, we will ask Padre Pio, partly, you know, as part of the prelude before we say a prayer, is because Padre Pio always had a love for those holy souls in purgatory. So we empathize with your loss of losing your sister so recently during the Advent season and, you know, coming across Christmas and New Year's. It must be painful and emotional to be suffering this. But take heart. We have a great saint by the name of Padre Pio, probably the only priest, at least, who had the stigmata. There may be another one, but that's the only one I remember at this point. And let's ask him. He's done many miracles and helped people with their health and any issues of their soul, especially that like of PTSD, because the true meaning of psychological issues is of the soul. Psych actually means the soul, not the mind. So when we have psychiatric or psychological issues. The real root word is psyche, which means soul. Mm. So the root cause is something in the soul that is upsetting the soul, whether that be fear, anxiety, and so forth. And that's why I'm asking Padre Pio for you, Rose, because Padre Pio, his famous quote is like, you know, not to fear, right? To pray, hope, and don't worry. And so, and this is where, you know, we, if we ask Padre Pio right now, so let's do so, that he can help us so we can pray, hope, and don't worry. In the name of the Father, and Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Padre Pio, St. Padre Pio, we ask for your powerful intercession, you who love the holy souls of purgatory, to please help Rose, her sister who passed about 5 weeks ago, to also please help Rose dealing with her health issues and any of these issues that may cause this anxiety, stress, a lack of peace in her soul, that you can help bring that peace of mind and peace of heart that can only come through our Lord Jesus Christ and his church through the sacraments such as confession and communion. We ask this, Padre Pio, for your gracious help for Rose and her sister who had passed away. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Anton. We also have prayer requests for Stephen, who's hospitalized with esophageal cancer.
I'm sorry. Esophageal cancer.
Esophageal. Thank you.
Yes. Okay. Stephen, so I'm sorry that you're suffering from this. You know, as a medical doctor, I've seen many cases with people with cancer, and you know, my own mother passed away from stomach cancer, and here with you having esophageal cancer, you know, those who are listening may not realize that's the part of the food tube that affecting Stephen. And so we ask help. Let's ask again for our Lord and Savior. And use and invoke his holy name because he is the Word made flesh, right? And so through his, by invoking the name of Jesus, he is the one that can heal the cancer. And if he decides to heal you today, or rather heal you of other issues, such as any issues of your soul, or any fears, that he will do so now. Lord Jesus Christ, we offer to you our brother Stephen, who has esophageal cancer, and we ask you to console and comfort him, give him the strength and the courage to deal with this cancer. And if it be your most holy will, Lord Jesus Christ, to heal him of this esophageal cancer, so that he will be made renewed and that he may be able to take comfort and confidence in your love, Lord Jesus Christ. If you, if at all you could heal him, please do so, Lord. At the very least, give him peace of mind, peace of soul, and that his fears will be alleviated by your love. In this we pray, in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Anton. We have our last person on the list, Rich, who has kidney stones and heart enzymes. So thank goodness you're a doctor. There's a lot of these, the heart enzymes thing, I'm not quite sure what that can be, but certainly kidney stones are familiar. So it's Rich who has kidney stones and heart enzymes.
Yes. Okay. We asked, you know, it helped from are the Sacred Heart of Jesus, because when we talk about the heart and the Immaculate Heart of Mary, and again, why is it appropriate today for, thank you again, Rich, for calling in and leaving your petition. Today, Friday, is dedicated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And, you know, Saturdays are dedicated, the first Saturdays, which is tomorrow, is dedicated to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So we got the twin hearts here, but also let's add the chaste heart of St. Joseph, who can also help you with these heart enzymes. And what that means, that there's these different chemicals, you know, called troponins, which gives an indication if there was a heart attack, or if there's these other enzymes to show, you know, if he had heart failure. you know, called BNP, but also the fact that he had very painful episodes with kidney stones. You know, kidney stones and having a baby are the two most painful things anybody can have as far as experiencing this. And I actually had a friend of mine, a family friend of mine, who was pregnant and had kidney stones during her pregnancy. And she actually said the kidney stones were worse than delivering the baby, according to her. So,
wow.
Rich, you have it doubly hard. You know, I'm sorry you're suffering like this from the kidney stones. I hope that passed, or they will be able, you'll be able to get rid of that soon. But moreover, that let's ask our Lord Jesus Christ through your Sacred Heart and the Blessed Mother through her Immaculate Heart and Saint Joseph of his most pure, chaste heart. We ask you to help Rich in his dysfunction of his heart, to give him the peace of mind and a healthy heart and the courage that comes from his spiritual soul to be able to deal with these medical issues and also to deal with the pain and suffering. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, and the pure heart of pure chaste heart of Saint Joseph. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Anton. And for our listeners, we've got a little less than 15 minutes left. So if the Holy Spirit's prompting you to call and the prayer request, we pray that you'll be given the holy boldness to call. Or and the number is 610-527-2906 or 610-527-2906. Certainly for this wonderful day, certainly the holy name of Jesus and the this first Friday, which has always been the healing mass, it's a great opportunity for listeners really to really never take for granted the healing love and mercy of Jesus. He wishes to be the healer. And it's important that we ask him what we want and all I get. And some of the listeners who are listening are perhaps a little bit shy and do that. I think now I'll say a prayer to for you and to open your hearts and let the Holy Spirit prompt you. And as I'm just going with the Spirit, Anton, on this one, so we'll get it started. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Lord, we pray for any of our listeners or even those who are listening to the podcast later. Now that we have a podcast, I think it's called Podfast or FaceTime, a podcast recording. Because, Lord, you're in charge of time and space, so it can happen when, wherever's listening. Lord, we pray that for any of our listeners, that you give them any physical, spiritual, or healing, or emotional healing they need. Lord, we pray that you may prompt our listeners now to quiet their hearts and really say to Jesus, to yourselves, Jesus, I would like healing of this. And Jesus is asking you, what is it that you would like? What do you want? And all of us want some sort of healing, so we're going to give it about the ultimate, not supposed to have silent time on a radio, they say. We're going to give 15 seconds, and let's allow this Holy Spirit to open your hearts for each of our listeners and let Jesus know what is it that you need healing for, or who is it that you need healing for, and what might that healing. And we'll start right now. And we thank you, Jesus, for hearing our prayer and answering in your perfect will. In Christ's name we pray, amen. In the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Anton, our listeners, when I was saying that prayer, what came to me was there's some listeners, or definitely one listener, that really is praying to be relieved of their addiction to alcohol. And really is at the bottom of the pit looking up, asking for help in that healing. So for any of your listeners who this touched you and that was your prayer, or you were afraid to even say it, but you knew that was it, know that Jesus hears your prayers and will answer them in his perfect timing. And just know and believe, that's how it works. And he uses all kind of individuals to convey his messages. And today he's just using Anton and myself to do that. So know that your prayer is heard, and it will be answered in God's perfect timing. Amen. Huh?
Amen.
God is good all the time, isn't he?
Yep. All the time, God is good, yeah, for sure.
We missed a couple months, and I had another story, if you don't mind, Anton. I ended up with these stories that, I guess, private revelation, whatever they might be called. But I wanted to talk to our listeners, because I think it was an eye-opener for me, and hopefully our listeners, this might help even develop your participation even more in the Mass. But as I've said to a lot of listeners, at the once the priest consecrates the bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ, and before he consumes it, from those points on, Mary and Joseph are always there in adoration of Jesus. And they're always, Mary's always at the priest's right side, and Joseph's next to Mary. And I was, when I was saying at Mass the Our Father, I say the prayer so many times, and unfortunately some prayers, it's always important to pray from the heart. But for some reason, that time my mind starts wandering when I'm saying the prayer and I'm not thinking the words. And I glanced up at the altar, and I was aware of the depth of intensity that Mary and Joseph had lifting their eyes up to heaven, praying to the Our Father. And it taught me, now when I say that prayer, to just look up with my eyes open or closed and say that prayer that Jesus taught us how to pray to his Father. Because at that time, the whole congregation's praying that prayer. But each of our individual prayers are like the incense rising to heaven, and it's there. So if I could suggest for our listeners that at the time of the Mass when that prayer is done, be aware that certainly the eyes are to heaven, and a perfect example certainly cannot be no better than Mary plus St. Joseph, and kind of showing me if they can do it and do it, I should certainly be doing it too. And it's taught me to be even aware in a deeper awareness of what we are saying with the Our Father prayer and how so personal it is for each of us. It's wonderful at Mass, you hear all the words and the joint effort going to heaven, but it's a group of individuals personally communicating with our God. And I think I wanted to share that last month, but we didn't have the show because of... I think we had electricity problems, but that's just a thought, Anton. So, I always bounce, I kind of discuss things with you, but it was a real teaching time for me to do that, and hope our listeners maybe can get something out of that. You know?
Yes. Well, that's great. Yeah, because it's very important to really focus during the Mass, because that's the highest, public prayer that we have, and where we can unite our sacrifice, our intentions with our Lord, and participating in that and getting all those different graces. And people that may not realize how important those graces are, it's a word that's thrown around, but it's things that can really, it changes our lives. It puts us in friendship with God, depending what kind of graces it is, like in sacraments. But it also, can help us get to heaven. That's the main thing, and live happily ever after. Not that it's a fairy tale, but literally live forever in happiness. We're destined to live forever. Mm-hmm. It's just, where do you choose to live forever? And so, when you were mentioning that person who was, struggling with addiction, mm-hmm. I just quickly looked up that, he can actually pray to Saint Maximilian Kolbe. Mm. You know, he was the Polish Franciscan martyr, the one who died at Auschwitz, and you know he was given carbolic acid and you know killed and poisoned to death. And so you know he was one of the last few people that stayed alive. They were like essentially starved to death, and yet he would, you know, he would sing, he would offer confession, and they killed him by injecting carbolic acid into him, and he died. And so this is where, if we ask St. Maximilian Kolbe, for all those who are suffering from any kind of addiction, whether it's just be drugs, you know, addictions could be, you know, to food, it could be to drink, it could be to pornography, it could be to, you know, whatever. It can be from gossip. There's various kinds of addictions, you know, having a bad attitude, you know, very sarcastic or argumentative. These are all like bad vices. And so we can ask somebody like the St. Maximilian Kolbe, St. Max, to help, you know, deal with all this. Because he was willing to die for a man, a family man, you know, and he took his place.
Amen to that. He was quite a saint that he gave up his life in place of another man who had family.
Exactly. So just in tune with what we're saying here about the whole, you know, how a couple of people from Sandy and John and Susan called about prayers for the family. Just, you know, here he is, another saint who stepped in for a father, you know, husband, to save that man's family. And himself.
Amen to that. And for our listeners, when Anton's talking about the saints, or I talk about the saints, I'm very aware that they really listen. I don't know if it's their obligation or what, but they're given some kind of gift that when their name is called for their intercession, it's like putting someone to work that's just waiting to do a job. And by asking for them, that's intentional prayer requests for that saint. And that direct beeline to heaven really opens the waves. And we really are, there's so many records of the saints interceding that sometimes we think of the name and it's that, but when we're asking that name of that saint for the intercession, it's an actual, it's like picking up a phone line and calling them directly. Or it's the spiritual communication that grace that God provides for these saints, for we his people, and it's all meant to help us grow closer to God, because our goal is to reach heaven for eternity and to praise our Lord and God for eternity. And one day we'll see the saints, welcome them, but I think it's such a great blessing to be able to get to know them today and believe in that today. And I didn't mean to go on so long. We have about 35 seconds, but I just wanted to share that with your folks.
No, that was important. Thanks for sharing that too, because it's like calling a specialist. Like if we need a specialist for our heart, right? We call a heart doctor. Well, same thing. We call about these saint specialists for whatever our their patron saint to be.
Amen to that. Well, we're about out of time, and we'll end up with the Our Father, and let's each pray from our heart the Our Father, and then thank you once again, Anton, our listeners for listening, and Patrick doing a great job. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. God bless you, everyone, and we'll talk to you next month.